Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 62 of Slam Fire Radio for the week of June 20th, 2014. I am one of your hosts, Trevor Furlott.
I'm another one of your hosts, Matthew McClatchy.
And I'm the last host, Owen Llewellyn.
It's because you showed up last that we made you go last. You know that, right?
Yeah. That's what that was. I always go last.
No, that's not true.
Well, except when I'm lead, then I go first.
Right. Then sometimes you go in the middle.
I do. If you wouldn't have been essentially cheating on us by cutting your grass and listening to another show instead of being here on time to do this show,
yep.
you could have went first, maybe.
It is basically your fault.
Always
yes,
is.
Yes, I know. I know. And you are lucky that I showed up at all, because for some reason something happened to my phone and the feed stopped, or I downloaded it and it just stopped. So I had to take my phone out to find out what had happened. And that's when I noticed the text from Matthew saying, "Are you going to be on the show tonight?" And I was like, "Oh, that was 20 minutes ago. Maybe I should go in and see what's going on."
Well, why didn't you just, set a reminder, like a little alarm, every Thursday night at 10 to 8, set yourself a little, "Hey, I got to go do a podcast now." Kind of instead of leaving your co-host hanging. I'm just saying, I'm not an expert in these things, but.
No.
it's definitely more interesting this way.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, Owen, since you're here, why don't you tell us what you did this week in guns?
Well, I'm going to steal a little bit of Matthew's thunder here by getting to go first, because he's going to want to talk about the same thing. But
well, I think you're going to want to talk about it more than I am. Well,
too bad for Matthew.
since I didn't do anything else, I'm going to talk about it. I shot an IPSC match, the first one in Woodstock for the year. And so that was pretty fun. I was kind of getting the itch to get back at it. And we have 5 stages, just under 80 rounds.
Sounds like a security shoot.
Yeah. I think we had 10 people.
Was it only 10? It felt like about 15.
Felt like a lot more, but yeah, it was.
Well, that's because Toner was there.
Right. No, see, it would have felt like less with him, because he's kind of half a...
I was being comp measures. He has such a outgoing personality that,
It is like there's two of him sometimes.
It's like there's two, yeah.
The good news is, guys, I'm here. The bad news is I'm here.
That's very, very hurtful. Very, very, very
hurtful. That's hurtful, guys. Very hurtful. I wish he listened, because he'd be yelling at us right now.
He would, yeah. Oh, those darn guys. I'm going to get them.
Anybody who knows Toner, you'll get this.
And the man. I don't know if Ipsic's definitely better off with them. That's
for
sure.
Definitely, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Anyway, so we had a guy shooting revolver. Mike was there shooting revolver.
That was Mike Gross, right? Rough Gross.
No, Mike Gross. I tried that revolver in the Miramichi, and I offered to buy it. Like, the second you want to sell this, I want to know about it. Did you guys try the trigger on that thing?
No.
No.
It is...
It had one of those roundy, spinny things that you put your bullets into, and it was weird, so I didn't want to touch it and get contaminated.
It's called a cylinder. It's the most tuned...
I thought it was a tumor. I thought my gun was going to grow something if I touched it. So I was like, no, I'm staying away from that.
No. You got to appreciate a fine revolver. And this thing, I walk up and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got a revolver too. It's got a Jerry Mikulik spring kit in it. And it's the trigger on it is so nice and blah, blah, blah. I pick this thing up and I want to throw mine in a lake. It's like, oh.
Mine sucks compared to this. It's garbage.
It is. It is amazing. The hammer was shaved on it and the whole 9 yards. Like, the double action trigger pull, it's got to be just barely 5 pounds.
Yeah.
It's short. It's smooth. It's light. It's the nicest revolver trigger I've ever seen.
Is there a minimum weight for revolver triggers? I don't think so.
Nope.
No. No. Because it would be kind of impossible to make it dangerous. So.
Yeah. Only thing that happens is your bullets don't go off, right?
Right, because the hammer spring's too light.
Yep.
So, cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was, yeah, we did that, and it was, we had a couple guys, it was a non-sanctioned match, so we had a couple guys there who did not have black badges, but were interested and wanted to kind of try it, so we kind of gave them a little safety briefing ahead of time and coached them through the match, and they did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoyed it. They, I think one guy thanked me that night, sent me a text the next morning thanking me, telling me how much fun he had. I went down to it because he worked in the same building I do. I went into his office. He thanked me again and told me how what a great time he had.
Well, I was, I'm going to say that that wasn't Jeff then for sure, because Jeff doesn't say thanks to anybody ever.
No.
he's just like, well, it's about time you let me do this. Jeez.
Yeah. And then no, it was Troy. And then he sent me a text today, Matthew, wanting me to thank you for all the help that you were. So I think he might be hooked.
He might be, yes. Yeah, he did pretty good too, so I hope to see him out again.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, yeah, and Jeff, even if it's...
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jeff did really good too. I know I made fun of him there, but he actually did do a good job, so I'd like to see him out again too.
We should try and get a black badge organized between... SummerSlam and the Tommy Shoot.
We might be able to do that.
And then those guys at least be able to take part in the three gun, the charity, or the provincials.
Yep. Where are the provincials this year?
I don't know if it's been announced yet. I'm assuming Hampton. Fredericton's right. Out of the Ipswich game.
Right.
And we're not going to have
it. It's not Restigouche.
No, so I don't know how many other ranges are really equipped to do it in Hampton after what they did last year. I would shoot any time in Hampton. I'd drive to Hampton for level one. The matches they put on, they do a fantastic job.
How about this weekend? You want to go this weekend, huh?
What a great idea.
That is a great idea.
I'm in.
All right.
So, yeah, so we shot the match and I think I fixed my grip on my, remember, I don't know, it was last week, 2 weeks ago maybe?
Yep.
I was talking about how I was shooting to the left, so bad. And so before the match, Matthew and I were there early, and I just said, just look at my grip here. So I drew a couple times, two different ways, and he was able to kind of go, oh, that looks right. That doesn't really look right. You know, anyway, and then I did a little bit of shooting both ways, and definitely was a grip issue.
Yeah, when you adjusted your grip, your group centered up just fine, so... It's weird that you got to adjust your grip a little bit like that to make it work that
way.
Well, yeah. But
and if you looked at it technically, it looks like an inferior grip. You know, in some ways, you go, well, I don't quite have the same contact with the gun, but I'm torquing to the left when I hold it the other way. Because I think I could do it if I was shooting another style stance, but using the isosceles where both arms are extended equally, my hands was more behind the gun than the other. My strong hand was more behind the gun, and then when I was firing, it was torquing it. So anyway, I'm happy. Now I've got to go back and make sure I have to practice with that grip again, because I had been practicing with the other one thinking it was correct. So
yep.
Now I've got to go back and kind of undo and relearn some muscle memory. But other than that, a little bit of hunting, you know, no bear hunting, but still no luck, so that's about it for me.
Cool.
Well, what about you,
Matthew?
Matt?
Yes.
All right.
Matthew, I went to the range last Monday, I think, with Andre. Andre's a fly-in, fly-out welder in Alberta. And
I thought he was a giant.
He is a giant. The man is not small. He is large. Anyway, he was in town until just recently, and so he called me up or sent me a text and asked me if I wanted to go to the range, and of course I want to go to the range. So grabbed the AR, and I think I brought my Beretta 22 pistol as well, and we headed out to the range and shot some steel, just my little flip-up target, and then just shot the ARs. Just had some fun with them. I put the conversion kit in mine for a little while, and then we both went to just straight 5.56, just running them full power. He has a... not a Daniel Defense. Maybe it is a Daniel Defense. About 6 months ago, there was a fairly well-known AR company that had a really good deal on ARs. I think he got it for about $850. I don't know if you guys remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was the DPMS Oracle.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. So he got that, and
it
works.
Jazz picks one up too.
Yeah,
works. Yeah, that deal with us too.
It works very well. The only issue that he has with the gun is that the gas block, it didn't come with sights, so he had to buy his own sights, and the gas block has a rail on it that's not the same height as the receiver rail.
My STI was like that originally, and there's a riser you can get, and actually you had the riser on the red dot that I gave you. When you gave me back the red dot, I got the riser back.
Oh, okay.
And because that Tascal optic is low, I need that riser to get it to co-witness with my Magpul pop-ups.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the EOTech, you don't need it. The aim point, you don't need it. But that riser's created for situations like that gas block that doesn't go to the same level as your flat top upper.
Yep.
So that's a Brownells item, $14 probably to your door.
I should pick one of those up because I've got the same issue with my Beowulf.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll show you the riser when you're here, Owen, for the charity shoot.
I still think the best bet for that, Owen, is just throw a red dot on it. Heck with the red, the sights. So that's, anyway, that's what he's going to end up doing, because he had a front sight on the gas block and a rear sight on the receiver, thinking that he could get it close enough.
No.
Nope. And so he ended up putting another rail on the forearm of the gun, the front hand grip, and that was, of course, too high. And so, again, he tried it, and nope, that didn't work either. So he basically had an AR that he couldn't shoot straight because his sights wouldn't line up. So my EOTech arrived, and so a little segue there. I had it mounted on my gun, and, of course, I've got my backup sights on there. So I know that it will go back to zero if I take it off and put it back on. So I just took it off my gun, put it on his, and said, here, we'll just finish out the day with you shooting the EOTech. I think I sold him an EOTech.
I was going to say, who ordered an EOTech?
Yeah. He's like, whoa, how much are these? I'm like, about $500. He goes, yeah, I think I'm going to have to get one. It's expensive, but it's worth it. No zeroing required, no sighting in required even on his gun. We just put it on his gun. I think we had our targets at 50 yards, I think, something like that. And they were full-size B-27s. So, silhouette, human silhouette, and we had already had all kinds of holes in the center of the target. So I said, you know, just go for the head, just put a couple of rounds through it just to see if it's on target or not. Every single one of them right in. So,
well, if you guys have the same length barrel and the same ammo,
yeah, and as long as our barrel's torqued on properly to the same spec and it's the same weight, and there's all kinds of different variables that can be in there. But, yeah, it was right on. So it was really cool. He had a really good time with that. And then, of course, when I took it off and put it back on my gun, it was exactly right where I left it. So that's very nice. I am liking the EOTech. I should have just gotten the EOTech from the beginning. I was kind of hoping that the M21 would have kind of performed better. And like I said, it's not that it performs poorly. It performs quite well. If you use it in the application for which it was designed, there's only one drawback to it, and that's shooting from a dark environment into a bright. And unfortunately, I do that quite a bit. So it just doesn't work for me. So that being said, I got a Meprolite M21 for sale if anybody wants it. So anyway, that was fun. Oh, and I also bought lithium batteries for my EOTech. So now they will run for 1,200 hours instead of 600 hours. So that's cool. Doubled the life of my sight. And also, Trevor, did you know this? I don't suppose... you know that it has an auto-off, right?
Yep.
After 8 hours, it turns itself off.
From the last time it was touched.
Was touched, yeah. Except that if you press the up arrow to turn it on, it's 8 hours. If you turn it on with the down arrow, it's 4 hours auto-off.
Oh, cool.
So
I didn't read that. Or maybe that's new. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat because, you know, range session doesn't normally last 8 hours unless you're at a match. So when I go to a match, I'll press the up arrow to turn it on. When I go to the range for fun, I'll press the down arrow, and then I just never have to worry about turning it off. Turns itself off.
I just turn it off.
The
batteries that you got, are they what you said, lithium?
Yep.
Rechargeable? Not rechargeable. Just
regular. I got Energizer lithium.
Okay, yeah.
And according to the documentation, it says it will double the expected life of the sight. So I got four of them. So two are in the grip and two are in the sight. So good to go for like 2 years or something probably.
Nice.
Let's see what else happened. Oh, my Black Mamba arrived. So thank you to Jason Christensen for getting that out to me. I actually ordered an original Black Mamba, not the combat edition or the combat cut one. And Jason emailed me when he saw my order, and he said, did you really want the original, or did you want the combat cut? Because the combat cut one is actually quite a bit quicker to draw from.
Yeah, that's like, one that Owen and I have.
I'm like, yeah, if you recommend that's what I get, then that's what I'll get. And he said, yeah, that's what I recommend you get. So you get that. I won't charge you for the upgrade. Sweet. Not only that, he sent two T-shirts.
Ooh.
So, yeah, a medium and a large. So, thank you, Jason.
He just was unsure, so he covered all his bases.
He certainly did. Well, I there were two in there, and I just figured, whatever. I grabbed one, I put it on. I'm like, oh, it's a large. It's a little big, but whatever. I can wear it. I'm like, what are the odds he put in a medium? And I went and checked. Oh, he did put in a medium. Sweet. So,
well, I brought you home a T-shirt from Mag 40, right?
Yep, from Jason as well. Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. So you can... you can take the large that doesn't fit you and, I don't know, use it as a prize at the prize table for the cherry shoot or something.
I think I already promised it to Owen.
Of course you did. Oh, yeah, Owen wouldn't have got a shirt back then.
No, Owen didn't get a shirt, so he doesn't have a Black Mamba shirt, I don't think.
Owen doesn't get the Caliber magazine either.
Neither do I anymore.
Oh, no, I got mine.
Did you?
Yeah, it just came in.
Lucky. I should go check my mail, maybe. Maybe it is
it's
there.
It's the ultimate short and competition handgun buyer's guide.
No, sport. Oh, it's yeah, short. I want that edition then.
Yeah, the Ultimate Sport and Competition Buyer's Guide. There's also a review on the Boberg,
Boberg.
Yeah. What is it?
I don't know, I call it the Boberg.
Boberg.
It's Boberg, yeah, I think so.
Boberg Arms, the smallest restricted in Canada. Get it while you can.
Yeah, that's a really neat little pistol. It pulls the ammo out of the back of the magazine and then shoves it in the barrel. It's like a bullpup.
It's like a bullpup pistol, yeah.
Yeah.
We almost bought one of those to raffle off instead of the Versamax.
Yeah.
But we figured that the Versamax would be easier because A, it's non-restricted, and B, it appeals to both IPSC shooters and hunters.
Yep.
I was wrong. I think at this point we had twice the AR ticket sold.
Oh, AR is going to always be a hotter item, I think.
Not around here. Not to the locals.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, not a lot of competition shooters and mostly hunters and FUDs and stuff.
Well, hopefully you'll sell some more tickets. I'm sure you'll sell some more whenever you get to the banquet. You always sell a boatload of them then.
Yeah, I think so.
So, that'll be cool. I mounted a gun rack on my four-wheeler. That's gun related, right? I can put my gun on my four wheeler
sure
now.
Is.
Yep. And then I shot the IPSC match with Owen and Woodstock, and I can't believe Owen didn't mention the kind of the standing results, the kind of overall kind of scores, because he won.
Nice.
Not by much. It was very close. I was
by 5%. I only got 95.
Well, that's true. But
so is this the first time or
that he's won? No.
No, he beat you.
No.
I thought he was chasing you for a while. So he's been beating you for a while.
I think the last couple.
So it's officially he's better than you.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So yeah, I got to shoot my production gun a lot when I get home after this match.
Yeah, and I got to start stepping up here and like practicing or something. I don't know.
Oh, you're all right.
I've been running on...
all right, but I'm better. That's I've been what he just said to you.
No. I'm just saying you guys are fine. You don't need to practice.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
like that's gonna happen.
Listen, Matt. We go back and forth. It's pretty much every match. It's
a toss up each time. Yeah, who managed to nick the penalty target and who didn't is what
exactly.
It boils down to. And this time it was funny. I missed a target and he hit a penalty target. So it's -10 for him and -10 for me. It worked out to be that does work out to be the same score, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think really the only difference was I had a couple times that were just a hair faster.
Yeah, you did.
You know. And I think that was about the only difference.
I actually experienced trigger freeze for the first time. on one of the really short stage, the one where you were sitting at the table and it was like you're at a card game. Yep. It reminded me of the Steve Lee song, which was awesome. But anyway, you're sitting at the table, your gun's holstered, your hand's relaxed. Or no, your gun's on the table. And anyway, I guess you catch somebody cheating and you grab your gun and you shoot them across the table. Well, the targets were close, so I was expecting pop, 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 done. Well, it was pop, pop. What the heck? Come on. But I just didn't push my finger out far enough. It didn't reset the guns, the trigger. I was like, it was frustrating. So I got to slow down to go faster, I guess.
Well, that kind of, I could see that, Matthew, because you had been shooting the Ruger for so many years. This is our fourth year in IPSC. You've been shooting the Ruger for 3 years. And it has a longer reset, so there's going to be
a transition period here.
Yep.
And that was my very first match shooting the Glock. So
you were trying to go fast. You know, that was a stage where you were.
I wanted to go fast.
Yeah.
I wanted to go fast, and it ended up hurting me. So anyway, I'll play some more at the match on Saturday. So yeah, I guess I could let Trevor mention it, but we're going to Hampton to shoot the Southern New Brunswick 250. So it's how many stages, Trevor? 18.
18 stages.
18
in one day.
Stages in one
wow.
day. 250 rounds.
Plus
with, and this is the best part, barbecued pig on a
pig roast.
Spit.
Whole hog.
Whole hog roast. That's why I'm going. The shooting part's cool, but I get to eat a roasted pig. I'm in.
Actually, when I heard the door prize was an SKS and a crate of ammo, I was like, oh my God, take my money now.
Here's $100 or here's $200 for the match fee so I can win a chance at winning an $80 rifle.
I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, funny. That's pretty much my week there. I had a lot of fun and looking forward to some more fun this weekend. So Trevor, why don't you wrap us up with what you did this week with guns?
All right. I got out and practiced quite a bit with my open gun. Well, quite a bit, 2 or 3 days.
And that's quite a bit compared to my practice schedule.
Yeah. but it's not what I want.
You want more. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and now that school is wrapping up, I will get more. I'll get there on a daily basis. And I mean, there's so much SummerSlam pressure off because Sals, although had backed out as match director, him and Kingston were getting out to the range almost daily over the last 2 weeks from 6 a.m. until 11 every day. And all of the major construction is done. We're
wow.
essentially at target placement.
Wow.
That's
and
nice.
We're not even in July yet. So and
that's awesome. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm breathing a sigh of relief. Because getting on the range and working, there's no secret. That's my weak point. I do the admin stuff in the office and the emails and the squatting and the WinMS stuff and all that good stuff. That's fine. Teaching black badges and designing stages. But when it comes to getting on the range and actually doing physical labor, I know I suck.
Well, it's because you can't walk up small hills is why.
That's what it is.
I mean, you blow out calf muscles and all kinds
right.
of crazy stuff.
It's right. I'm just not cut out for that kind of strenuous work, right?
Well, here's the thing, though. Seriousness aside, no way, other way around. All joking aside, you've got to have your strengths and your weaknesses in the club. And for somebody who loves being out on the range working like Serge, that's great that you are somebody who likes being in the office doing up all the admin stuff because you've got to have both angles taken care of or else you don't have a successful match. So
yeah, but you never see the background stuff. You only see the guy in the range lugging sandbags.
Well, you know, it may be a thankless job and people may think, you know, less of you and I'm okay with that because I'm the one out there lugging the
So back to the open gun, the aluminum grip cracked again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, this is your third one, right? And I was just going to say, you know, it's been about a week. Have you cracked that one yet?
Yeah, they're very funny.
And you have, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've essentially got my open gun turned back into a factory gun. I bought the gun, and then I bought a whole bunch of Go Fast parts for it that I put on before I even shot the first match, and it's all been stripped off. The plastic grip is back on. The original magwell is back on because the big fancy double alpha one that I bought doesn't work well with the original plastic grip. It kind of distorts the shape a little bit, so some of the mags don't drop freely. So to prevent any binding, I just went back to the original mag well. Seems to help. And so, needless to say, the gun is running really well. I had another issue with a firing pin that I'm sorting out, but anyway, it's all done now. I got out to the range this morning and had some practice. And by this morning, I mean after work today. Yeah,
right.
That's it. And
I talked to my boss today because technically tomorrow the students leave at noon, but we're supposed to stay till our regular time.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I got a match in Hampton tomorrow. Is it okay if I leave early? She's like, I don't care. I'm like, I'm going to rephrase this. I'm going to leave tomorrow around noon. All right. Have a good summer.
Nice.
Yeah, my boss is awesome.
Yeah, so we're going to rendezvous at the range, right?
Yeah, it's at the range.
Yeah, okay. Because we're leaving about 1, so.
Yep.
What else? I loaded up some match ammo. I acquired nickel brass. And
that sounds like a band.
Yeah. No, not back. You know what they say about Nickelback? After they play, you ask for your Nickelback, right?
Right, because that's all it's worth or something. I don't know.
FX Hummel 1 told me that joke. I haven't talked to him since. what else? This is kind of important. I wrote an article for the NFA Canadian Firearms Journal.
And I cannot wait to read it.
What was it? Last...
Pretty good.
Thank you. Last Friday, I think, I got a phone call from Sean Bevins, the executive VP of the NFA, and he's like, we need an article written about what happened in Moncton, and I can't really think of anybody better to write it than you since you're there, boots on the ground kind of thing. What do you think? I'm like, holy geez, Sean, I haven't written anything seriously
since grade university. 3.
Yeah. So, anyways, I guess no big deal. We got editors, all that good stuff. I'm like, okay, when do you need it by? He said 3 days ago.
No.
Great. So, anyway, I got her done. And I don't know if it's going to be well-received or not.
It's going to be well-received by those who are intelligent, I'll tell you that.
Well, we shall see. It's about the situation that occurred in Moncton. And basically, I wrote an essay that asked the question, could an armed civilian have made a difference? And explore that angle on the tragedy. So we'll see how it goes. I'm looking forward to seeing it in print. It'll be, I think, the first time I've ever been published.
You're a published author now.
I should be on the Gun Nation podcast.
You
professional gun writer.
There you go.
So, and other than that, we put together a huge order. Well, huge. I don't know what Techwear considers huge, but Techwear USA makes shooting shirts for shooting sports like IPSC and USPSA. And Mo had some made for his MB Ammo business, and our Team New Brunswick shirts were made by these guys. And so the Rescuers Gun Club got together and decided we'd make a little order of 44 shirts just for the pistol section alone. So that was pretty good. And only three of us got two shirts each, yeah. They came in today. They're amazing. They're that dry weave material that breathes really well in the summertime. We got our names and our divisions and our brand logo of choice on there. I got 2, 1 for standard division, 1 for open, and they're really neat.
That is really neat.
They're generally quite expensive, but we sold sponsorship because we are corporate whores at the Rescuers Gun Club.
Why didn't you sell sponsorship to Slam Fire Radio? We could have got our logo on there if we'd thought about this sooner.
You couldn't have afforded it. I know. I don't know.
20 bucks? Come on.
Yeah, right, yeah. Minimum buy-in was 150.
Oh.
So.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we sold a couple
of... You know, I mean, our budget is kind of... Wait, it's 0. Never mind.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, that jet we have, the fuel's not cheap. So.
It's not free, man. It doesn't grow doesn't grow on trees. I was going to say, no. You can't just pump that stuff out of the ground, you know. Wait, that's right. You can.
Yes, you can. You got to filter it or something to get the gravel out. But other
it's
than
just
that,
a Brita filter, right?
That's right. Yeah, actually, a Brita filter works great with vodka. Doc Weston taught me that, but that's a story for another day. what else? Oh, shirts. Yeah, so we sold the sleeves for $150 a pop. We sold the back for $250, and we sold the front for $500. So
wow, nice.
Yeah, that offset the cost of each shirt substantially. And the pistol section had some leftover jackets from the Nationals that they sold and contributed that money towards the cost of the shirts.
Nice.
Yeah, so. And they are quite nice, I got to tell you.
Hmm.
Not a fan of the color, but that's what happens when the guy controlling the order decides that things should be a democracy instead of a dictatorship. I'll never do that again.
Right.
Yeah, what, you don't like blue?
Too bad.
No shirt for you. You come back 2 years. Anyway, that's me. What about moving on now to some upcoming events?
Sounds like a great idea.
All right, go ahead.
Want me to do it?
That's why I said go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know who you're talking. I can't see who you're looking at.
I'm cleaning the lens on my gun. Leave me alone. My work here is done. I talked about me. That's enough.
Well, first up, we have a special edition upcoming events thing. We have compiled a list of all the people who posted our flyer and then took a picture of it.
And by we means he.
And by compiled, I mean I made a list of everyone that I could find on Facebook that did
it.
Good
word, Matthew.
What? He?
List.
List. So I came up with 19 different photos or other instances. I mean, one was a video, but 19. And those came from 6 different people. So some individuals posted, I'm not going to say their name yet, but somebody posted 12 different flyers around where he lives. A couple others posted 2. And then, of course, Filthy posted the awesome video. So I'm going to go through, list the names. And if you find that your name isn't on this list and you actually did take a photo and post it, I'm sorry. I didn't find it, and it's too late. But if you do write in and say that you did, I will at least mention you. So, I mean, that's something anyway. And we do give
that
you.
We forgot you.
And, yes. And we do, of course, offer our undying gratitude for helping get the word out there. And that is serious. Well,
a full refund.
Mostly. So Filthy, of course. Awesome video. Thank you, Filthy. You rock. Why you shot up our sign, I have no idea, but whatever. Good job. Rick Woods, he posted one. Tony, I don't know how to say your last name, man. It's Tony the Sign, I think. It's French, and I think it's Tony the Sign. So if that's right, then great. If it's not, I'm sorry. It's Trevor's fault. He doesn't know how to teach me French very well. Brendan Henney posted 12 posters around where he lives.
I taught you the most important line you'll ever need to know.
What?
In French, I taught you the most important line you'll ever need to know. It's from that famous song from back in the 90s. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Ce soir.
See,
the thing is, I always say it with the tune, though. And so people look at me funny.
Let's hear it that way. Let's hear
no,
it that way.
No, that's not going to happen. It's funny because I live in a French community and work at an English school. And so the kids all assume that I can speak French as well. They're like, Mr. Matthew, do you understand French? I'm like, non, je ne parle pas français. Oh, you just spoke French. No, je ne comprends pas. No, you spoke. Je parle anglais seulement. Those are literally the 3 things I can say. But anyway, Nathan Anderson posted 2 and Mark Price posted 2 as well. So I have taken all these names and I have put them into a random name generator. No, random list. Anyway, whatever. I put in all the names. I'm going to click a button and it's going to give me a name of who won the coveted spot to come on the show with us for a little while and talk about how they posted their picture up. I don't know, something. We'll come up with something cool. And what I did was, for every picture you put in, I put your name in that many times. So, Brendan, you got your name in 12 times. Filthy, I counted your video. They say a picture is 1,000 words, right? So I figure a video is 1,000 pictures. Is that how that goes? No?
Yes, but I tell you what.
I put yours in 5 times.
Filthy is disqualified, though.
Because he shot our sign? Because he didn't show his face?
Nope.
Oh,
because
why?
He's part of the evil empire.
That's a valid concern, but nope.
Okay, why?
He wants to come on and have a mil-spec episode.
Oh, no, he's out.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because that's all...
Says the guy who just bought an M305.
Doesn't have any wood on it.
It's true, it doesn't. And that's something else we did. We shot Owen's M305 at the range. It was fun.
Heavy as a tank, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
These little 22 arms had some trouble holding her up.
They're worse with wood one, wood stocks.
So here we're going to... Can I squirrel here?
Yeah.
Of course I can.
Of course I can. Required.
We're headed to my bear bait tonight because I needed to get some feed out to it. So my wife says, well, can you take a couple of the kids with you? Sure, I can take the two oldest ones because they can, you know, handle it. Well, then, of course, the youngest wakes up from her nap and she is just heartbroken that she's not going to get to go too. And so I can't handle all three of them by myself. So my wife says, okay, I'll go as well. And then I said, well, are you going to carry anything? Like the gun. Should I bring a gun for you to carry? Because if I do, I'll bring like my lever action, my 95.4, because it's much lighter. But she, you know, anyway, hummed and hawed and didn't figure she was going to. So I said, okay, well, I'll just take the M305. I'll leave it in the truck. Then if we see something, you know, driving, who knows, right? So I'm going to have a bag of feed on one shoulder and a bucket of molasses. Well, then we get there, and I can tell that she's nervous to not have the gun. So I said, well, okay, you carry something. So she said, I'll carry the bag of feed. So she's got the bag of feed on her shoulder. I've got the rifle across my back, and I'm carrying the bucket. Well, we get about, I don't know, halfway there, and she's barely holding this bag of feed. So in the end, I end up lugging in the bag of feed and the 10-pound rifle on my back and the bucket of molasses.
And you didn't even see a bear.
And I didn't see a bear. Anyway, so I thought it's kind of related to the weight of the rifle. But anyway, go ahead.
The warrior's work is never done.
That's right.
And then my 5-year-old on the way out, who was carrying the empty bag of feed, it was empty. Complained about having to carry it. It's like, you need to grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to the oldest. She wouldn't have complained.
No, that was the oldest.
Oh.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's unlike her. I've seen her lift things that are heavier than she is.
I know. Anyway.
Funny.
I have no idea where we were. Yes, you were, but we were complaining about Filthy wanting to do a mil-spec show.
Right, so I'm just going to click the mil-serp.
Mil-serp. Mil-spec.
Yeah, it's not going to be a mil-spec show. Well, all right, this mil-serp. One's a...
The mil-serp will probably be mil-spec.
7,000ths of an inch, and this one is... No. All right, here we go. I'm clicking.
Okay.
And the winner is... Drum roll. Really no, there's
I'm
no
really
drum
nervous.
Roll. Are you nervous? You're nervous because you think it might be Filthy, and we got to talk mil-serp for an hour?
Much. We all know who we want to win.
Well, yes.
I don't think she put up any posters, though. It's Brendan. Woo-hoo. Brendan Henney. So, congratulations, Brendan. What you need to do is get on Skype somehow and give me your contact info so we can get you on the show, and we will talk to you for a while. See what's going on in your neck of the woods. We'll just have some fun, and you can make fun of us, and we will probably make fun of you, and
think
we'll
of a topic.
Kind
of
go really, from there.
Yeah. And if you're not interesting, we'll only talk to you for like 2 minutes.
That's right. Yep. And if you are interesting, it'll go on and on and on.
You're required to talk more than Owen, but less than Jason Philp.
There you go. Yeah, if you listen to the latest action shooting, Jason, or, sorry, I'm thinking Pat Harrison.
Pat can talk. Pat can talk.
Sorry, Jason, I confused you. I like how Trevor keeps getting interrupted. We're tag teaming him.
Speaking of Jason, he's trying to convince FX Hummel to do a show about Slamfire.
Oh, a song about Slamfire.
Song about Slamfire, yeah.
We'll see if that happens. That.
Did it about my lousy channel, so that was back when he was struggling for content.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he was struggling for content.
You were saying, Trevor.
I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, okay, I was taking a cheap shot at Pat about how I'm trying to convince the guy he doesn't have to tell everybody all he knows about Ipsic in one episode. Like, he should try and, you know, spread it out a little bit. We've got time.
Yeah. You've got a bunch of shows coming up, I hear. I think one a week for the foreseeable future kind of thing.
Yeah, generally that's the idea, yeah.
Hilarious. All right. Well, so yeah, congratulations, Brendan. Thanks for posting up flyers, everybody, for doing that. And continue to do so if you so choose. And let us know that you did, and we'll make sure that we appreciate it or something. I don't know. Something like that, anyway.
Cool.
Carry on, Trevor.
All right. Owen, how about you tell us about the upcoming charity shoot?
All right. The upcoming charity shoot is on the 28th of June. Starting at 9 a.m.
That's coming up real soon, folks. That's like 8 days away.
I know. It's hard to believe. It's kind of snuck up on me.
Yeah.
I hit on this.
Look, this time next week, Steve Lee will be here. I'm going to pick up Steve Lee in like 3 days or 4 days or something crazy like that. It's crazy. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Sorry. Carry on. Did I mention Steve Lee's coming?
We doing a show Thursday night. Are we doing a show at your place, Trevor?
Yes, probably.
The thing is, cool. But I don't know when, because Thursday we're on the range for a black badge.
Right.
So I guess when we get back from that.
Well, we'll make it work. Either we'll do it, we can do it after, or we can do it the next morning.
Yep.
As long as we get it out by Friday, we'll be all right.
That's right. Cool. Friday is a relaxing kind of just hang out and have fun shooting stuff kind of day.
Trying to convince my wife to come.
I thought she was coming. I thought it was confirmed.
Well, it was if it was a Friday, Saturday.
You're losing your room to another couple.
Well, if we're
and you're not Friday. Snuggling in with me again.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, again?
Oh, you caught that.
Well, when it was a Friday-Saturday thing, it wasn't too much of an issue, but the two nights away, it's a little stretching on the babysitters, so we got to kind of coax them into...
Babysitters are your in-laws. If they didn't want to babysit grandchildren, they shouldn't have had you guys.
They're her in-laws, right?
Yeah, they're my parents. But
oh, your parents can handle it.
We'll see.
They handled you.
They have a life too.
Yeah, but it involves their grandchildren now. Yeah,
I know, but still, man. Anyway, to the two guys that don't have kids, but anyway.
You got it.
Hey, we've got cats, and that's pretty much the same thing.
And I got a 2011 I can't take apart for some strange reason.
I know why.
It's actually a 1911.
So, back to the charity shoot, which is a week away, just over. $25, and it's at the Restigouche Gun Club, which most people better know by now if they're planning on coming to it.
Yeah.
And we're still asking people to let us know so that we can plan on how much food to buy and that sort of thing. For that day. Now, somebody explain about these two types of 50s that we're going to shoot. This is for possibly three. So this is for the for charity as well, right?
Yeah. One of my club members has a Steyr M1 something or other bolt action magazine fed 50 caliber or 50 BMG that he's I'm trying to. Well, last I heard, he was going to be there. He's going to let you shoot it for a fee. And part of the fee will cover the cost of the ammo. The other part of the fee will go to charity. The other 50 that's coming is Mario from Radio Velocité Quebec will have his Desert Eagle chambered in 50 Action Express on hand. He searched the entire country for ammo, couldn't find any anywhere, but then finally found components. So he will be loading up some hand loads. Hopefully no squibs, because that would suck in a 50 Action Express.
Oh, that's another squirrel there. We had a squib at Woodstock range there the other night during IPSC.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a legitimate squib. I heard a pop and a puff, and I stopped him. Like, I yelled stop right away because it didn't look like he was going to stop. He didn't notice. The slide cycled. Their next round chambered fully. And fortunately, like I said, he was stopped in time. We checked it, and the bullet was about halfway down his barrel.
That's the scariest.
We were probably a quarter of a second away from a gun exploding.
Yep. I talked to him today, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry. Carry on.
He's gonna modify his reloading
technique.
Technique to eliminate any issues.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah. I'm going to try and bring the Beowulf upper.
Yeah.
The Beowulf that I have, and we can do sort of a similar thing with that.
Yep, that'll be cool.
Yep.
So I'm just looking at hold on, Mario's Facebook message here. He says, I was finally able to find some 50 Action Express. I thought it was impossible, but perseverance paid off. He found six boxes of 20 300 Hornady 300 grain Hornady projectiles.
Cool.
So he's going to whip those up, and yeah. So the BMG, the 50 Action Express, and Owen, you're going to have the Beowulf?
Yep. I'll bring the bit. There will be a limited number of rounds because I only have so many reloads.
Maybe we can auction them off.
Yeah.
Highest bidder. Who wants to shoot the Beowulf?
I've loaded up. I think I've loaded almost all the projectiles I have, and so I only have so many. So
right.
But what is there available? People can, you know, we'll have to figure out a number to put on it, and people can shoot that. So
it would be cool again. I'll have to shoot that Tannerite.
Would have been nice to shoot the Tannerite. Yeah, Tannerite won't be here in time for that, but it will be here soon.
I will. I've got to get figure out a sighting system for that as well.
The Beowulf. I'll just bring my M21.
Okay, perfect.
So that'll work for them. People can see for themselves how well it works, and maybe they'll buy it.
There you go. All right, and what's this about T-shirts at the end? Are we gonna have some T-shirts there? There's T-shirts at the bottom of this in the show notes, so I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, there'll be about 8 or 9 T-shirts available for sale.
Okay, these are Slamfire.
Slamfire, yep, the current run. I needed the medium shrunk on me when Jewel washed them in the extra hot water because she does that to my clothes because she hates me. I'm kidding, dear. If you're listening, I'm kidding. It's a joke. Put down the knife. So anyway, I needed a couple of large to turn into mediums with the Jewel's washing technique. And so anyway, I asked Dustin, my T-shirt guy, you know, is there any real price difference between 2 and a dozen? He goes, no, we got to set it up, and you pay for the setup, and so you might as well get a dozen. That's the minimum run if you want a good price. So I got a dozen, so we'll have, you know, like I said, at least 8 or 9 of them for sale at the charity shoot. So if you want another T-shirt, or if you want one because you didn't get one, it'll be there.
Great.
And after the cost of the shirt is covered, the proceeds will go to charity.
That is correct. Yep.
Righty. Do you want me to keep on rolling?
Yeah, keep rolling. I'm cleaning a gun.
All right. People, don't forget about the Versamax draw. Lots of tickets left, eh, Trevor?
Yeah, too many. Only about 800.
Yeah. Only 1,000 are being sold, though, right?
That's right.
So it is good odds, but right now it's even better odds.
That's right. There'll be tickets available for sale at the charity shoot upon registration.
Cool.
And tickets are 3 for $20 or $10 each. Rescue Goose Gun Club at gmail.com. You can send your EMT there and then follow up with an email with the password. And Matthew, you want to keep on rolling?
Do I ever? Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course, August 2nd and 3rd. I believe there's only one spot available now, $200. This is with Tommy of the Gun Dude. So this is going to be awesome. If you want to learn how to shoot a pistol, come on out. It's going to be great. Back to me again? All right. Multi-gun, August 16th and 17th, $40. Register on the RustyGooseGunClub.com website or something like that. There's a form there. Fill it out. Send it in. Pay your $40. It's going to be great.
Yeah,
that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. SummerSlam stage just turned into 3-gun stages.
Yep. Yeah, it was awesome last year. And the only other one that we have is the Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic, and that is with Daniel Shaw. He's coming October 11th. Again, just a couple of spots available, $200. It's going to be great. You want to learn how to run your AR or any other carbine, come on out. He'll teach you. It's going to be great. We have been mentioning the Swiss Arms Fork It Over fundraiser, but that is happening probably by the time you hear this show. So it's probably too late for you to go, but if in the event it isn't, you should go. Go to chrisandersonpresents.com for all the info you need on that. And, yeah, we'll go from there. So, yeah.
Matthew, you want to take the first news one, or Owen?
I can do that.
Go ahead.
All right, this comes out of Kamloops, BC. After responding to a complaint of a man waving around a gun, police are recommending charges against 3 men arrested Monday afternoon at an Upper Sahali residence. The resident, a 46-year-old man, was arrested after RCMP received a report of a drunk man with a handgun. gun looked like a 9mm, but turned out to be a replica BB gun.
Well, was it a replica of a BB gun?
That's what it says, a replica BB gun.
So this, it wasn't even a real BB gun.
What, no, it was a fake BB gun. It was a replica of a replica of a gun.
The initial complaint police received stated the man with the gun was intoxicated. Corporal Cheryl Bush, a spokesperson for the RCMP, says he was not under the influence upon arrest. Police are recommending a charge of possession of a weapon.
It's because it took so long for them to respond. He sobered up.
Yeah. He just had a hangover. Not under the influence, but he still had a hangover. Police were recommending a charge of possession of a weapon for a dangerous purpose against the BB gun owner. The fake gun caused fear in the community and drew a police response. In situations like this, replicas can be perceived as real firearms, Bush said in a press conference earlier today. It's concerning because had this individual presented this weapon in the presence of police, things could have escalated. RCMP members also arrested a 41-year-old male in possession of a stun gun and a 40-year-old male with a substance suspected to be cocaine.
Yeah, right up into the last line, I was like, this is just some dude out playing with his BB gun in the backyard. What's the big deal? I do that all the time. I mean, BB guns aren't illegal.
These are junkies in the street.
There you go.
Yeah, tough guys.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Here's they're charging them with things that don't exist.
This is what's troubling. It's troubling because there are so many handguns, BB guns, out there that look like actual handguns if you look at them, you know, from the road as you're driving by. And
that
so people
make them replica firearms, though.
It doesn't make them replica firearms, which is, you know, that's not a prohibited, or replica firearms are prohibited, but BB guns aren't. If these things are legal to own, legal to use, there's no requirement for proper transportation. There's no storage requirements for them. They're just toys. Unless you use them in a crime, they're just toys. They're not weapons.
Well, was his actions criminal because he was causing a disturbance? He created a public disturbance, which required police to respond. So he needs to be charged with something because he was causing a public disturbance. But
no, but we don't even know that.
Well, we know that because somebody called the police because he was waving the gun around.
Okay, so he's in his backyard. He's waving it around.
Was he in his backyard?
No.
I don't know that. I'm just saying we don't know where he was.
Based on this story,
we don't know where he was. He could have just been in his backyard waving around because he was high on cocaine.
Stunned by a stun gun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the little old lady across the street freaked out, or the soccer mom next door freaked out and called the cops. That doesn't mean the cops were necessarily required for the situation.
Because they responded to the complaint of a man waving around a gun. So here's the thing. In this story, I think it's probably good that this guy got stopped by the police. In this story, this is good. I think this is a good result because it looks like there's cocaine and a stun gun, so prohibited devices and whatnot around. And this guy's probably not the upstanding community member that we might be.
I have a feeling because of the charge, what the charge is, that was the only thing they could find that they could really charge him with.
Well, that's what I disagree with, Owen. I think they.
I know, I do too.
They think they there was other charges they couldn't charge him with, but I think this is probably a clown who's known to police, and they're throwing the book at him because he's a punk.
A clown known to police, yeah. And like I said, I'm not terribly upset that this guy is in trouble with the law because it doesn't sound like he. But
me either, but I want him charged accordingly.
Right, and the other thing though is that this does open up the whole issue of people like me, people like my neighbor. He just got his first pellet gun. He's been in his backyard shooting stuff. Oh, man, the slaughter back there is horrible. There's dead things everywhere. No, I'm kidding. He hasn't killed any animals yet, as far as I know. But there's pop cans and pop bottles. Like, he's out there in his backyard, and we live in a urban environment. It's not a city. It's just a little town. Fortunately, we do not have a no-discharge bylaw, so he's perfectly legal shooting his gun where he's shooting it. I have no problem with it. And fortunately, nobody else has any problem with it. But what if somebody did? All of a sudden, the cops are going to get called on my 12-year-old neighbor kid, you know, for...
But I think the result of the investigation would be very different because he's a 12-year-old boy with a pellet gun shooting in his own property in a safe direction.
Right.
Not some adult waving an air pistol around.
Right.
I don't think this guy was simply shooting... at pop cans with the air pistol. If he had been, upon quick examination of the neighbors, oh, it's not a real gun. I see him shooting at pop cans, and there's no big loud bang. He's just playing with an air pistol. Let's let it go.
Yeah, I'm with you on this 100%. But I guess where I'm going with this, it's a slightly different road, I think, and that is, there are people who shoot their BB guns in their backyards legally. And I don't like the fact that people just automatically call the cops whenever they see somebody with a gun. And it's just really frustrating to not even be able to enjoy a BB gun in your backyard anymore.
I think it depends on where you are. Around your place, I don't think people will call. Beldoon, nobody would have called.
Right.
You could shoot a .22 in your property in Beldoon and nobody would call. I think it's very much a question of...
where you are. Location. Stavros will like that one. Right, Stavros?
Yeah, that's right. Stavros can't make it. He dropped out.
What?
Yeah, I know.
From SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Stavros.
I didn't tell him he could drop out.
Stavros. Ah, that is not allowed, dude. Who's going to RO Dave and have him owe you all those suppers now?
I don't know, man.
It's too bad, Star. Looking forward to seeing you again, man. You'll have to come out for something else. Maybe the pistol course or the carbine course. I don't know.
Does Stavros even listen?
I think he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Oh, good.
He started listening after Nationals last year.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah. Sorry to see him go because I know he's been around for a while and I know he's a good worker on the range and you guys had nothing but great things to say about him.
Yep. He's a great guy.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Oh, is what it is. So anyway.
If you need to buy a house, call Stavros.
Call Stavros and don't shoot your BB gun in the backyard with it.
Or call Left Hand.
Left Hand's a real estate agent too?
Yeah.
In Toronto?
No.
Oh.
Wherever he's from, down there in Tennessee. Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee.
For all your Middle Tennessee real estate needs. 2222. I don't remember the rest of the number, but I just know he says 2222.
There you go. Awesome.
Oh, man.
What are we doing now? Next one's story?
I think we're done with the BB gun story.
One's you.
Me. All right. Firearms law protester may lose his house, and this is talking about Bruce Montague, who you guys should all know about, and if you don't, we'll make sure you know about him by the end of this show. A Northwestern Ontario gunsmith who protested Canada's firearms licensing regime by letting his own permit slip, leading to a police raid on his family's log cabin, has lost his challenge of Canada's criminal forfeiture laws. And now he might also lose the house.
And he served time.
And he has already served time. Bruce Montague, 55, has already served more than half a year in jail after a jury convicted him on 26 firearm charges, including removing serial numbers, lacking a license, and altering automatic weapons. In a ruling Tuesday, the Ontario Court of Appeals further ruled against Mr. Montague's challenge of the Criminal Code's automatic forfeiture provisions under which a judge had ordered most of his quote-unquote arsenal, 200 items including dynamite, machine guns, sawn-off shotguns, assault rifles with overcapacity magazines, silencers, night vision goggles, and bulletproof vests. It would become the property of Ontario. I'm going to pause there. Night vision goggles and bulletproof vests are now part of a quote-unquote arsenal.
Yeah, why did they take those things? They just took everything, right?
Basically.
This, if they discover one prohibited item, you've opened yourself up to lose everything.
They just take it all. Yeah, at that point. So the appeal court even increased the number of items that must be forfeited, seizing his ammunition. See that right there? Oh, take my ammo. Jeez. All right. Anyway, I broke the law. I did it on purpose. What I was challenging was that the law wasn't valid in the first place, said Mr. Montague in an interview on Tuesday. He said he will likely appeal as it's hard to turn and walk away from a value of over $100,000. He said he's penniless, but that there was a more basic principle at stake than money. Don't we all have equal rights to our life? And should we not have equal opportunity to defend that life, he said? I'm not advocating anarchy. I'm not wanting to prepare for insurrection. I'm a real rules-oriented type of guy, and that's why I got so incensed at these gun laws that seemed intentionally devised to disarm the good people of this country.
Well, can I jump in there?
We're done the article, so you carry on, man.
Okay, he's right. A go button. Oh, it's go button. Okay, he's right. The gun laws are designed to disarm us. But I'm going to come right out and say I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. As a matter of fact, I don't have any. I'm a believer in that if you want to change the law, you have to change it from within. You can't – when you stop caring enough about the law, you don't – if you're breaking it, you don't care about changing it. You don't care enough to try and change it. You've just made a conscious effort to break it. And I don't think breaking the law is a valid means of protest. And, okay, let your license expire is one thing. Silencers, full-capacity magazines. I don't know how they were able to prove that he converted semis into full autos, but having full autos in his possession.
As I understand it, he has a prohibited license and legally owned full automatic firearms.
Okay, so then they shouldn't even bring that up. I also have to take into account that the media is going to twist the hell out of this. But he was found guilty. He was convicted of breaking certain laws. And my issue right now is with everything that's going on after Moncton, we don't need any bad press. And this guy's form of protest is hurting all of us, in my opinion.
Here's the thing. Couple of rebuttals here. First of all, he's already served his time. He's paid his due.
I understand that.
Now they're stealing his house.
Yeah, that I don't agree with. How can you punish him after he's already been punished? That's a crock.
Yep, I agree. The second thing... Sorry, go ahead.
I just don't understand how stealing his house even fits into the grand scheme of things in our air quotes here justice system. He was convicted. Well,
Is he losing his house because he doesn't have money to pay?
No. They're seizing it because... they're using the criminal forfeiture laws, which was designed to seize property from people who purchased that property from the proceeds of crime. So think of your typical drug dealers or Hell's Angels who are purchasing property so that they can build up a presence in an area. This allows the Crown to take that land and put it back. Give it back to somebody who's going to use it properly as opposed to people who are using it to build up a criminal presence.
This does not
apply in Bruce's case.
No, he wasn't manufacturing illegal weapons and selling them out of his home.
No.
He didn't buy the home with money he got from selling illegal weapons.
No.
So they're really punishing him more than they need to.
Yes, they are. That's what I disagree with most. Now, here's the second thing that I wanted to mention. Trevor, you said you don't agree with him breaking the law, and typically I'm always with you on this sort of thing. Unfortunately, the way the law is set up in Canada, you cannot challenge a law unless you're convicted of breaking that law. So the only way that he could even get this issue into court was to break a law so that he could challenge the constitutionality of the Firearms Act. Now, here's how he did it. He did it in stages incrementally. The first thing he did was just let his firearms license expire. And that's it. He figured that would be enough and they would come get him. He didn't have to break any other laws. It's just a paper crime. He'd go to court. He'd get to challenge the constitutionality of the law, which I'm with him. I don't believe it's constitutional, but whatever. The thing is, they didn't arrest him. They didn't charge him because they didn't get to that point yet. After he let his firearms license expire, as the story was told to me, as I understand it, they just basically said, well, we know why you did it. We know you want to challenge the law, and we don't want you to challenge the law because, we don't want you to challenge the law. It's our law, and we don't want it challenged.
Okay, I've got a rebuttal for you. Your comment was that the only way to challenge the law is, or to get the law changed, is to challenge it in court, right?
No, that's not what I said. The only way to challenge it is to break the law, not the only way to get it changed. The only way to challenge it.
Yeah, well, we can change laws without challenging them then.
The fastest way to change a law, though, is to challenge it. You lose in, you force that the so issue in court.
The fastest way may not always be the brightest way.
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. Look, let me tell you, you and I are on the same page here for most of this. I just want to make sure that everybody understands why he did this. Bruce didn't do this to be an outlaw. He didn't do this to flaunt the fact that he could get away with things. He didn't do it to get more freedom, or to steal more freedom, I guess. He did this for the Canadian gun owners. He did this so that he could challenge the law, so that he could go to court and have his day.
It's good that he wants to make things better, but that's what the NFA and the CSSA is for, and they go about it without going to jail.
Right. Oh, no, I understand. Yeah. No, like I said, I'm with you on that. I mean, he could have done this another way, but I just want to make sure people understand that he's not a bad guy. He may not be... He took
serial numbers off of guns. How did that...
He had anybody? To. It was... Like I said, he escalated until they finally bit and said, fine, we have to do something about this. He didn't do it just in one fell swoop and say, I'm breaking all the laws just for fun. Like, he did it incrementally until they finally said, fine, we have to charge you.
And in the end, I mean, he didn't benefit anybody. He hurt his family. He hurt the reputation of gun owners.
Yep. Oh, no, I agree. Like I said, I agree. It wasn't the smartest way to do it, but I still do have sympathy for the guy, and I still do understand why he did it, and I wish it had turned out another way. Go ahead, Owen.
I was just going to say I see very little benefit in challenging the law this way by knowingly break the law. And it's one thing if it's a paper crime and you forget to update your PAL or whatever. It's another thing to deliberately say, I'm going to deliberately break the law because I don't think the law is valid. Where does that stop? I mean, almost now you've got relative morality.
Yeah, I think I should be able to slap my wife.
Yeah, I think I should be able to punch you in the nose, Matthew, just because I just don't like you. And I should be able to get away with that.
And then try and convince the judge that he wants to punch you too once he gets to know you.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the guy in what he's going through, but I just can't condone purposefully, breaking the law in order to challenge this, because you have to use every means possible within the law before you start to break the law. You know, like revolutions happen, okay? And sometimes revolutions are necessary and are not necessarily a bad thing. But before you go and have a revolution, you need to use every means that's legally possible to effect change for the better. And we're not there yet. There may be a time in this country when gun owners have to go, no, we are not going to take any more of this, and we're going to put our foot down, and we're going to break the law because we believe in this, and it's gone too far. But I don't think that time is yet or even close.
Sure, and that is the opinion of most people. And again, I just want to say for Bruce, his line in the sand was different from the rest of ours.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's paying the price for it too.
They are. I mean, it did not go well for him, but he still did it for the right reasons. It was his line. He took a stand. He said, these laws are wrong. These laws are wrong. I mean, I hope both of you guys can agree with me on that.
I was just going to say, there's no doubt that we all disagree with the laws that he broke. They should not be there. And we all think that he was overpunished for breaking them.
They're making an example out of him is what they're doing.
Totally. They're saying the rest of us,
don't even try, because this is what's going to happen. And I think that's why they're taking his house.
Yep, they really want to tell the rest of us. They want to put us in our place, right?
That's what they want to do. And I think, I mean, I don't know what we can do to stop this. I mean, the only thing I can think of is donate money to Bruce to help him fight this, but...
Yeah, I won't do that, though, because I don't agree with the way he did it.
Right.
I'll donate money to the NFA and the CSSA and Ian Thompson, who was put in a situation where he had no choice but to react. Ian Thompson didn't consciously decide to engage in what he had to engage in that night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They brought the fight to his doorstep, and he was simply trying to protect his life and was persecuted for it. That's different. This guy decided, I don't like these laws, so I'm going to break them as a means to try and change them. And in the mean? And in doing so, he garnered a whole bunch of negative publicity for law-abiding gun owners. All right, so it's time to move into our main topic. And since we were we did a AR show, and we did a shotgun show, we thought it would only make
sense. I know. Airsoft, right? Airsoft and BB guns?
Owen. Owen.
Yeah.
Hit him.
No, he's not here. Ow, how did you do that?
No, we thought it would make sense. Not that we often like to do things that make sense, but we thought we would talk about pistols. In particular, we want to rip on double-action, single-action pistols. We're all striker-fired fanboys, and my competition guns are single-action. And frankly, we just don't get double-action, single-action guns like the Beretta 92 or 96 and the SIGs and the whole decocker thing and just...
The CZs. I mean, there's all kinds of them. Why? Yeah. What's the point? It's like an answer to a question nobody asked.
Yep.
It's like somebody looked at a revolver, and then they looked at a 1911, because let's face it, back in the day, that's all people had a choice of, is a 1911 or a revolver, right? And they said, what are the two worst things about each of these guns, and let's put them together.
Well, let's actually, for a second, let's talk about what the perceived benefits are to a double action, single action hand.
Actually, can I stop you right there? First of all, for the people who don't know what a double action, single action gun is, let's talk about what that is.
Sure. So, double action and single action. Well, it's what the name implies. One action or two actions. A single action trigger or hammer is when... Okay, let's start with a single action handgun. The trigger does one action, and that action is allow the hammer to go forward and strike the firing pin. A double action trigger does two actions. It will, in fact, cock the hammer and drop the hammer, therefore performing two actions.
So a single action, you have to cock the hammer first before the gun goes bang. Mm-hmm. And as double action, the trigger pull actually cocks the hammer and then drops the hammer.
Right. So let me take them through how I would load and prep my 2011 and how I would load and prep a SIG, for example. Or could even be a CZ-858 or a CZ, sorry, 75.
Sure.
So
CZ-858. Those things are prohibited, don't you know?
And they're striker fired. Yeah. So if you had a single action pistol, let's say like a 1911, you would insert a magazine, rack the slide chambering around, which would cock the hammer, apply the safety, and holster the gun.
Then when you pull the gun out, you take the safety off, and it's a super light, crisp, beautiful trigger pull. Except that it's nothing like a Glock, so it's actually pretty rough and gritty. But
pull the trigger and the gun goes bang.
That's
now,
it. Yeah.
I'll use the Beretta and the 92. I'll use the Beretta 92 and the SIG because they have decockers. So the Beretta and the SIG are double action, single action guns, meaning they can be fired in double action or in single action. So if you want to shoot the gun from double action, you insert a magazine, rack the slide, chambering around, and then on the Berettas and the SIGs, there's a decocker, which is a lever that lowers the hammer for you to the forwardmost position rather than you trying to manually lower it by hand. Now the gun is ready to fire in double action. Some of these guns have safeties that can be applied, and some of them can't. For example, the CZ. Once this hammer is lowered on the CZ, you can't apply the safety. So you pull the gun out and pull the trigger, and you get a long, heavy, could be as much as 9-pound trigger pull. So it cocks the hammer and drops the hammer, and it's a long trigger pull. The trigger starts in the middle of the trigger guard. You have to depress it all the way to the back before the hammer cocks and then drops. So that's the difference. One, the gun comes out of the holster with the hammer cocked. You disengage the safety, pull the trigger. The other one, the gun comes out of the holster, the hammer is forward or down, you pull the trigger, cocking the hammer, and then dropping the hammer.
Yep. So yeah,
one
that
is one short and crisp, and the other one's long and heavy.
Now, the reason why they say they invented this, I still think it's because of the other joke where they took the crappiest thing about a revolver and put it into a pistol. But anyway, the idea or the logic behind this is that it is like a revolver. And most police forces, before semi-autos came along, they used revolvers. I mean, what else did they have, right? So you pulled out your K-frame or whatever it was you were carrying, your Smith & Wesson revolver, and you had a long trigger pull. It rotated the cylinder, it cocked the hammer, it dropped the hammer, and you did that 6 times till you reloaded. So the firearms companies thought, well, if police are already used to a long, heavy trigger, they don't want to mess with a safety. Let's just make a gun that the first shot is a long, heavy trigger pull. And the reason they did that is because police officers are often not the highest trained pistoleros, I guess. And that's not a derogatory thing. It's just a simple fact of the matter. They have many other things that are more important to do in the course of a day than practice with their guns.
Yeah, they want to avoid an accidental discharge, so they give them a super heavy trigger instead of giving them practice time.
That's right. So they give them a super heavy long trigger, which makes them miss, basically. So anyway, that's why they made them, I guess. And the thing is, though, you get that really long, heavy trigger pull for the first shot only. After that, most double action single action pistols, or all double action single action pistols, after that first long heavy trigger pull, the rest of them are all short, crisp, and nice and sweet.
Yeah, unless you've got a customized gun made to your specifications, like the RCMP carry, that thing is double action every pull.
Every single pull, yeah. Which again is okay because it's the same pull every shot. It's not right. The ideal pull weight, and actually the RCMP pistols aren't that bad. I've fired them. They're not great, but they're not that bad. I fired worse.
You're right. They're at least consistent throughout every pull.
Right, and so I don't have a huge beef with double action only pistols. Yeah, I still don't agree with them, but I understand why they're there. But the ones where
the consistency is way more important, in my opinion, than having a lighter trigger.
That's right. I mean, even
you can train with consistency. I mean, you can train with the other, with having a heavy first shot and light after, but it certainly is easier to train when it's all consistent.
And I Absolutely. Mean, how many SIG owners that aren't IPSC guys cock their hammer and leave it cocked?
They Every practice. Single one that I know of.
Right. I mean, I was even at a black badge, not a black badge, an unsanctioned match once where Buddy would load his SIG, use the decocker to lower the hammer, and then draw it from the holster, manually cock the hammer with his thumb, and then start engaging targets.
Which is okay to do at a non-sanctioned match, I should point out. If he was in a sanctioned match, that's a procedural.
But from a tactical point of view, it makes no sense.
Well, unless you're a cowboy, in which case you might be used to it.
Yeah.
Because the cowboys all carried single-action revolvers. They had to cock between every shot.
Yeah. Don't just pull a Doug. Doug shoots a CZ, but he does not want to run the chance of an AD, so he never lowers his hammer. So he runs standard minor.
Yep, so it's 9mm, yeah.
He runs his production gun in standard and scores minor because he doesn't want to drop his hammer.
Actually, we were talking about Toner earlier. He does the same thing. He got a CZ, and he does the same thing. He shoots standard minor. He does not cock or does not lower his hammer. He just puts a safety on.
Jody Warren showed me the safest way in the world to lower a hammer on those guns. You know, you got guys that try and grip them between their finger and the thumb.
Yep.
They even have one guy uses a little hook.
Yep.
You place your thumb against the back of the slide in between the hammer and the firing pin, and you pull the trigger, and then you gently roll your thumb out of there.
Yep. Your thumb is actually in the way of the hammer, so it cannot fall. That's and right. You just slowly pull it out, and it works great. I've seen that procedure, that technique, and it does work very well.
I taught that at our first black badge this year.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to double action, single action. I still think it's silly.
So do I.
I just don't see the point.
Extra moving parts in the gun.
Yeah.
Decockers.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there was a certain amount of that's what they had, I think.
They're still being produced.
Before they had Striker. Well, I realize that because...
Then again, they're still producing 1911s, right? We know that story.
Yeah. It was probably more of a crossover, I would say. Would you say? I don't know.
Maybe.
Sort of a revolver to a more modern semi-automatic. And then once Striker fire was kind of invented...
Well, here's the thing. I still think it was an answer to a question that wasn't asked, because a 1911 with the safety on is just as safe as...
But even back then, they knew they were chunks.
I disagree on that one, Matthew. I don't think so. I think, you know, I worry about my 2011 falling out of the holster with the safety on and the gun hitting the ground. It's got, well, of course, now this isn't a carry gun, so it has a, you know, it has a different trigger. But even, let's say, a carry 1911, there's a lot. The chances of a 1911 going off when it falls out of the holster are a lot greater than a SIG or a Beretta. I don't know if they have firing pin blocks in them or not.
Some 1911s do. The Series 80s
do, yeah. That's so, you know, if the safety gets knocked off and something hits the trigger, the chances of it going off are a lot higher than a gun falling that's heavy trigger pull, double action, and the hammer is down.
Sure, but dropping your gun aside, if you're... I understand that's always a risk, but I still think that you can carry a 1911 cocked and locked perfectly safely as long as you are competent.
Carrying. I mean, I wouldn't worry about it carrying. It's just
so. See, what I'm going back to is the police officers needing, you know, upgrading from revolvers and going to double action, single actions. I think there was a better choice. They could have just gone to straight single actions and just left the safety on. The other option is double action only, but I guess when they transitioned from revolvers, they didn't have double action only pistols yet. And I think they liked the fact that the first shot was heavy, but then the rest of them were light. I still think, from a training point of view, that that's a poor, you know, it's a setup for failure, is what it is.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot harder to train.
I concur.
So, anyway, fortunately, Mr. Gaston Glock came along and just solved the world's problems. Right. And invented the safe action, the striker fired. Well, he didn't actually invent it. He actually copied it, but he copied it very well and better.
Shut up, you blasphemer.
I read the book, too. Anyway, so now we have the safe action Glocks and
a book.
And the polymer frame striker fires. And basically what this is kind of halfway between a double action and a single action. When you rack the slide, the striker... There's no hammer. It's just a striker. The firing pin just under a spring tension. It kind of half cocks, and then when you pull the trigger, it cocks the rest of the way and drops. And so it's kind of the best of both worlds. It's a light trigger pull. It's lighter than a double action, heavier than a single action. So it's heavy enough to be safe, but not so heavy as to cause you to shoot poorly. And it's, you know, it's a very safe mechanism. So personally, I mean, if I ever got to carry. It's a Glock. It's a striker fired for me. There's no question about it. Why would I carry anything else?
You wouldn't. There's just no reason.
I don't see it. It makes sense. It's a point and click, right? You pull the gun out and press the trigger. You don't have to worry about fumbling with the safety. You don't have to worry about cocking a hammer if you are carrying a single action something and don't want to pull the double action, or, you know, you just pull it out and shoot. It's like a revolver. It really is. There's no safety.
Like James Yeager said, all guns should be Glocks and all Glocks should be 19s.
Yeah, I'd love to have me a 19.
Yeah, I got to hold one last year at the charity shoot in Ontario.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the perfect size gun.
I know, it's just so nice. Maybe someday.
But inherently evil and dangerous.
Oh,
and
of course, kittens die. I mean, you understand this, right?
That's clearly, otherwise, you know, why else wouldn't we be allowed to have them?
Exactly. It's for our own good.
Because God knows they are way, 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 way more concealable than a 17. I mean, you
way
can
more.
Basically, yeah, you can basically hide it in your armpit behind your ear.
Yep. Oh, I saw one guy with one as a belt buckle, basically, you know.
Yep.
It may have been in the waistband holster behind his hip, but, you know, it was close to his belt and it could have been a buckle. I'm just saying.
Yep. No, I toff. Goes without saying. Goes without saying.
So you're not going to say it? Fine. Well,
the Glock 26, I mean, that's like...
Oof. That's minuscule, right? That's a little tiny one.
I could fit that in my belly button. That's the not subcompact. Just 'cause I'm fat and gross.
Well.
I could park a minivan in my belly button, but that's another story for another day.
Yes, it is.
Sir, you're going to have to park your van off the diving board. Anybody who gets that reference, sorry. All right, so... All right, well, I don't know. Did we have anything else you want to say about pistols before we...
Okay, well, we described the two triggers.
Yeah. We also described the three triggers because we got the safe action too. So
right, okay. Now then, there's polymer versus steel, modular frame versus one piece frame.
Okay, well let's talk polymer versus steel for a real quick sec. Sum it up.
Polymer is plastic, steel is steel.
Yeah, there you go. So the heavier gun absorbs the recoil, which allows you to shoot it better, but the lighter gun allows you to carry it all day without getting tired.
Yep.
Basically, you know, if you're carrying a heavy, uncomfortable gun, I mean, and of course, we're talking about people who live where there is freedom.
or and, people who get to carry in Kinect Stan.
Right, yeah.
Like police officers or...
If you're carrying a heavy gun, you may leave it at home. And the only thing worse than your gun left at home is
I
can't not having a gun in the first place, I guess, or having too much ammo when you're swimming. I guess that's a pretty bad thing to have. Yeah. But
or on fire.
Yeah, or on fire. So if you have a polymer frame gun, yes, the recoil is a bit higher. It's harder to shoot a little bit. The recoil management, it's actually not that much harder, but a little bit. But you'll carry the gun more, and you'll be more comfortable with it. So that's kind of the sum up between steel versus polymer. What about modular versus what?
No, just the other option was modular, well, versus one-piece frame. Like the STI guns, they've gone to a two-piece gun, I guess. The frame itself, which holds all the firing components, but the grip portion and the trigger guard is all polymer.
So it's like the grip kind of attaches to the frame.
Yep.
Sort of. Okay. So you have more parts, you got more screws, you have things that could come loose versus a one-piece unit, which is not going to come apart.
But then you get the benefit of lightweight. Not entirely polymer, like a grip, like a Glock or an XD right. or an M&P. I guess you could say all the important parts remain steel, and the bottom part that just holds the magazine and the trigger group is polymer.
Is it sort of the best of both worlds, except for the fact that you got
kind of a hybrid.
Two. Yeah. So, all right.
I mean, but the screws can come loose on any gun. So, your argument that, you know, you get a bunch of screws holding
it
together.
Yeah, but if the screw comes loose on the stocks on my 1911, anybody gets that reference there? Stocks, they're not grips, they're stocks. Anyway, carrying on. You know, you just lose the stocks on your gun, no big deal. But if the screws come loose holding the handle to the frame of the gun, that might be a worse day. Just saying.
You get two in the top. The chances of both of them coming out at the same time would be two at the top and the back, and then one at the trigger guard. It's just not going to happen.
All right. Well, what are the chances you're going to wrap up this show in time?
That all depends on you, Mr. Timekeeper. How are we doing? Is it time to move on?
Bring it on. Let's.
Okay. Be sure to check out, be sure to join one or both of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. Also, check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. If you're not a member over there yet, you should be. They do really cool giveaways. Right now, they're doing an extra giveaway where you could win a Tavor. And like us on Facebook, because 1,012 likes is just not enough. And if you enjoy what you hear here, and I don't know why you would, well, let's say you enjoy the notion of podcasts and want to find a good one.
There you go.
You could do that by going on either the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which has all kinds of outdoor-themed podcasts. And if you want gun-themed podcasts from both sides of the border, be sure to check out the Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material on each of those. So check that out. And do we have any kind of special outro this week? Or?
Yeah, this is it. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Really? We got nothing good this week?
We'll think of something cool for next week, I guess.
This is good. We're going back to our roots, guys.
Yeah, a long, drawn-out, awkward ending.
Oh, man.
We've got to have those every now and then. Just to kind of
do this.
Don't you? Isn't this your line? No, you're supposed to say, see you next week. No, wait, you say something about shooting or something.
Oh, take somebody shooting.
There you go. See you next week.
Oh, and you need to say something.
Yeah, the Ron Burgundy line would be cool. who's doing the Ron Burgundy line?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
There you go. That's the show.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.